What? This cosmic universe is created by the Lord for those living entities who are carried away by the illusory thought of becoming one with him by imitation. The three modes of material nature are for the further bewilderment of the conditioned souls. The conditioned living entity, bewildered by the illusory energy, considers himself a part of material creation due to forgetfulness of his spiritual identity, and thus he becomes entangled in material activities, life after life. This material world is not for the purpose of the Lord himself, but is for the conditioned souls who wanted to be controllers due to misuse of their God-gifted minute independence. Thus, the conditioned souls are subjected to repeated birth and death. Om Gyanatmiranasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militanjena Tasme Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Kuran Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutu Devi Pranamami Aripri Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasimubhyavicha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschitya Desitarine. Okay, thank you very much for sitting in class. With the kirtan this morning from my dear God brother, Ramanava, he can dance us back home, back to Godhead. Do we need this class? Of course we do, because Srila Prabhupada instructed us to. But prasadam, chanting, dancing, and kirtan can take us back home if we had the faith. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 374. When it comes to the cosmic manifestation and creation, you should be relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's amalam, it's nectar. It's like a ripe mango. You take a bite anywhere, it should be sweet. But unfortunately for me, I have an inclination for the other. I pick and choose what I want to relish. So I can chant, yeah, I'm very simple. Not high thinking, but simple-minded. So when it comes to creation and the cosmic manifestation, I don't have a lot of interest. I have to be very honest with you, I'm sorry. But I'll try my best to do what I can. Please forgive me if I don't come up to mark to the other devotees like Ramnuk Sukha, Ramnath Sukha, who gave a class on Thursday. It was so brilliant. Although I don't like the topic so much, but he broke it up so systematically about Krishna and Krishna's plenary expansion, Balaram, and the Chaturvyuha. He explained it so beautifully that you actually relish the class. And in a nutshell, he gave the whole creation. It was so beautiful. And also, I can't miss my godbrother again, Pramandama. He gave a wonderful class on Friday, which was nectar. I mean, the manna classes are so beautiful. We just have to sit, listen, and understand. And from the ear, it goes straight to the heart, and you relish it. So now, today, I'm going to talk a little bit about Vidura, Because Vidura actually got this love and bliss of hearing. So this chapter here is entitled Further Inquiries by Vidura. So why is he inquiring so much from Maitreya, his spiritual master? Because he's actually relishing the topics. So when we in class, if we can listen, absorbing ourselves on the presentation by the speaker, and when the speaker sees that the audience is enthusiastic, then he feels and he or she feels enthusiastic themselves to want to speak. So it's both ways, really. So I just wanted to touch on Vidura, who is a very exalted personality. Somehow, he was born in a so-called Shudra family. Vidura was not actually a Shudra, actually. He was only playing a part because of Manduka Muni being cursed him for over 100 years. there's a reason behind it. But I will tell a little story later about how he became Vidura, a Shudra. Does anyone know the story? I'm sure everyone knows it. Okay, it's just a small story, but I'll tell it. It's beautiful. Actually, we can learn from these stories ourselves. And now, in the purport of the same verse, Srila Prabhupada says that, Krishna enacts these pastimes, or he sends his representatives for our benefit, for the benefit of the conditioned souls. So Vidura was an incarnation of Yamaraj, and he was one of the 12 Mahajans. He was a great personality. So it is the duty of like Mahajans or great personality to preach the cult of devotional service. So because they're in line with Narada Muni, Brahma, all the other, Mahajans. And so Vidura, because he was coming from a Sudra background, he was born of a maidservant, he was denied the royal heritage by his brothers, Dhritarashtra and Pandu. So now the question may be asked, if he was low-born, if he was from a Shudra background, why was he given the post of a preacher or an instructor? So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, by the way, if you want to look it up, from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 13th chapter, and text 15. So the answer is given that it is accepted he is a Shudra by birth, but he renounced the world for spiritual enlightenment by his authority, his spiritual master, Maitreya Muni. And he was thoroughly educated. In this way, he was qualified to give instructions. So this is how the story goes, this story about Vidura, how he became a Shudra. He was in the post of Yamaraj, actually. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.1, the story is given where Yamaraj was cursed by Manduka Muni. Because at one time, some thieves hid in the hermitage of Manduka Muni because of not wanting to get caught. But when they did get caught, Manduka Muni was included in with the thieves because they were in his hermitage. All together, they were taken to Yamaraj. So in this way, he was meant to be punished to death by being pierced by a lance. This was this Muni. The king at that time heard about this news, because he understood that Manduka Muni was a very elevated personality and he had his own hermitage, and he tried to beg pardon on behalf of the rishi. So Manduka Muni was confused. Sorry, Manduka Muni was confused. He was wondering why he was getting punished in this way. So he went to Yamaraj and he spoke to Yamaraj. He said, What have I done? What is the difficulty that you brought me here and you want to punish me in this way? So Yamaraj answered his question and he said, when you were a little boy, in your childhood pastime, you pierced an ant with a sharpened straw. So he couldn't understand, if I was a child and I did something wrong, how can you carry this and punish me? So he said, Manduka Muni said, this is childish innocence. It's not fair that you give me a punishment like this. So I'm going to curse you. So in this way, he was cursed to be a Shudra for 100 years. So you can see that even the demigods are not safe. You know, they're always getting cursed by Munis. So whether you go to the higher planetary system to become some demigod, there's 33 million demigods, as Prabhupada was saying, that these demigods, they are controllers. They're given the position by the Supreme Lord himself. So in this way, they have no control of anything. And if they become cursed due to their making mistakes and so-called puffed-up nature, the Supreme Lord actually helps them, correct them in his own way. So in this way, if there's no one qualified for their position, the demigod's position, the Supreme Lord actually takes the position until another Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, or someone else is found. So in this way, this is how Vidura became a Shudra in this life. So now we heard about, you know, Ramanuj Sutta, how he talks about the creation and all that. And in 372, in that same verse that Ramanuj Sutta did, I just want to read again, because this verse talks about creation, the three modes of material nature, and the beauty or the wonderfulness of Krishna. So in 372, just for us to go back and understand who we are, who the Super Soul is, who the Supreme Lord is, Srila Prabhupada explains that the difference between the Super Soul, the Supreme Lord, and the living entity is that the activities of the Lord is creating the cosmic manifestation are performed by the Lord himself. Though the agency of his multifarious energies, the living entities are bewildered by his manifestation. The living entities are completely under the control of the Supreme Lord, as he is the master of all energies. We have to understand this, that even though there's so many demigods taking care of the planet, the cosmos, the universe, still they get their direction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has the control of all these energies. As explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.2, Parikshit Maharaj is addressing Sukadeva Goswami. He says, kindly describe the wonderful and glorious activities of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, who appeared in the Yadu dynasty with Baladev, his plenary expansion. So Srila Prabhupada so beautifully goes straight to Brahma Samhita in the purport. He says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhi Govindam Sarvakarna Karnam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. Sometimes we say Vigraha form, but Krishna is personal. He also has a body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. It's beautiful. So, Now we're going to find out how the three modes of material nature affect the living entity. So I'm going to go to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14. 14, 6, 7, and 8. This is the three modes of material nature. So I'm just going to read the translation and maybe two or three lines in the purport. So we get an understanding about how the three modes of material nature are acting on us conditioned souls. So text 6, it reads, I'll just read the translation. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than others, is illuminating. And it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. So to become a devotee, at least we need to be on the mode of goodness. So in this way, we can make advancement, we can get purified. In due course of time, we'll be, you know, Krishna within the heart will direct us to a spiritual master. In that way, we continue our journey to make advancement in spiritual life. So I'll just read two or three lines. The living entities conditioned by material nature are of various types. One is happy, another is very active, and another is helpless. All these types of psychological manifestation are causes of the entity's conditioned status in nature. How they are differently conditioned is explained in this section of Bhagavad Gita. So this is when you're in the mode of goodness, that is the most easiest way to take to devotional service. So text 7 is about the mode of passion. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kuti. This is Krishna speaking. And because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. So in the purport, the mode of passion is characterized by the attraction between man and woman. This is the ultimate in the material world. They say, love makes the world go round. That's the common saying out there in the material world. And this is the nature of what, you know, the conditioned soul is working day and night to fulfill this pleasure of relationship between a man and a woman. Woman as an attraction for man, and man as attraction for woman. This is called the mode of passion. And when the mode of passion is increased, one develops their hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification. For sense gratification, a man in the mode of passion wants some honor in society or in the nation, and he wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife, and house. So this is the mode of passion. And now we'll go to the mode of ignorance. He says, O son of Bharata, Krishna speaking again, O son of Bharata, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. In this verse, the specific application of the word two is very significant. This means that the mode of ignorance is very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. It's not natural for a living being to be in the mode of darkness. Therefore, it is very peculiar, because as living beings, we have the intelligence to understand what is right and what is wrong. So if we don't use that intelligence, then it's a sad state of affairs whereby repeated birth and death takes place over and over again. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite. Everyone under the spell of the mode of ignorance become mad, and a madman cannot understand what is what. Instead of making advancement, one becomes degraded. The definition of the mode of ignorance stated in the Vedic literature. Under the spell of ignorance, one cannot understand a thing as it is. So it continues there. So yeah, those are the three modes of three modes of material nature, and we have to make the right choices on what we choose and how we choose, so we can be on the path of our journey back home. So in Bhagavad Gita again, 1856, I'm doing a lot of reading here because I'm not very learned in the science of cosmology and creation, but I got some, the research work where Krishna from the heart has given me some inspiration and Prabhupada. So I'm just going to read from Bhagavad Gita 1856. Krishna says, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. So we can be, someone asked the question, was it last night? We were in a reading group. If you're working outside, how can you make progress working for the materialist? But the answer was, as it's saying here, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. So as a devotee, we have no choice because there's no work in the temple atmosphere where Prabhupada calls it an oasis. There's no scope for everyone to find a job in the temple. Although it said that if Krishna consciousness created businesses, like Prabhupada wanted restaurants, didn't he? He wanted farms, he wanted so many things whereby devotees living outside can be employed. And in this way, they can live simply, at the same time maintain themselves. So the word mat vyas prayaha means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. So you can be working outside, but if you're following the process, here, the nine process of devotional service at the temple, we do all nine process with the morning program. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, all we do, we offer, arti to the deities, we smell the flower, offer obeisances, all these, the nine process we are doing. So if someone is working outside and is a devotee, he's trying to maintain his family, of course he has to maintain his family, that's a dharmic, that's his duty to look after his family, his children. So no one else can do that. He chose to become a grihastha, so he has to take the responsibility to do that. But of course, if he's a devotee, he has the advantage of association of devotees. He has the advantage of partaking in devotional service. In his free time, he can engage in service. There's so many different things. But he has to choose what is beneficial to his spiritual life. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So, further explanation in this purport, to be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord as his representative or the spiritual master. So it's very, very important to take shelter of someone who is senior. If one hasn't got a spiritual master, you you know, in due course of time, get there. But there is no time limitation for a devotee. He is always 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So, you may be working outside, but your mind, your senses, you know, is separate. You can always be thinking of Krishna. You can be chanting in your head. You can be so, you know, your body can be, it's like explained that the lotus is in the water, but not touched by it. So you go to work, you're doing your regular work. At the same time, you separate yourself from it. Of course, if you don't use concentration in the work you are doing, you might get fired by your boss. Or you have to, you know, show some intelligence how to train the mind. So to a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very kind. So he helps us from within. If we show determination and faith, then from within he helps us make advancement. He is guaranteed entrance. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. So this is a guarantee for us. If we perform these activities, as described in Shastras, Krishna is guaranteeing us that he will help us from within, and he's guaranteeing us that we will go back home, back to Godhead. And this can only be achieved by taking shelter of senior devotees, taking shelter of the representative of Krishna, who is the spiritual master, as it's explained in Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvadi Praniprateena Pariprasnena Sevya, Upadekshanti Te Jnanam Jnanena Stadvadarshana. One should approach a bona fide spiritual master. How does it go? He can impart knowledge because he has seen the truth. He can instruct you. So, you know, we take shelter of a spiritual master because the material energy is very powerful. As that Bhagavad Gita verse in 7:14, Daivi Isha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durachaya. He's calling this energy, Krishna is calling his energy divine. It's very, very powerful. This divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. Durachaya means very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can cross beyond it. Sometimes devotional service, we take it for granted because we're living nearby. We can come to the temple every day. We can associate with devotees, taking prasadam, in the kirtan, dancing, chanting. We get it every day. We don't see the actual value, or we don't appreciate what we're getting. But I've actually spoken to people that come from far away. And when they come to the temple, they are so blissed out. They're experiencing some high enjoyment from being with the devotees, from taking prasadam. And they come with some. I remember as well, another time when I was a Sankirtan devotee in the early days, we used to go traveling, and we'd go away for 1 month, 2 months at a time. And when we came back to the temple, we would relish every little bit because we know we're going to go off again. We come for the weekend and we have to go out again. So in that way, we would take advantage of the association, the devotees, the kirtans, every little thing, class, and we take full advantage. So sometimes it's very difficult. It becomes devotional practices becomes easy. And then when it becomes easy, there's a tendency for it to become mechanical. I just have to chant my rounds, get finished. Oh, I'm finished my 16 rounds. Oh, I went to class, I finished. It's very difficult. There's not criticizing, but Sometimes we do things in a rushed way because, you know, of familiarity. So I just wanted to read again to go back to God had explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, the most confidential knowledge. Sorry, is it 9:10? Anyone know that verse? You know, you guys know everything, I tell you. When I listen to class, the speaker says one thing. Who knows it? Someone's there, like, you know, chanting the verse. Yeah, Maya Dakshena Prakriti. 9:10. Is it? Okay, there it is. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyata Characharam Ituyene Nakunteya Jagat Vipavri Vartate. This material energy, which is of my energy, this material nature, which is of my energies, is working under the direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So in that verse, it's explained how the by her, he maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. So that's what's written here. Under his rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will and the background of this material manifestation. So he is the ultimate, sarva karna karnam, the cause of all causes. We have to remember that all the time. What else have I got? The last of all the translation reads how the Supreme Lord dissolves his energy again and again in Bhagavad Gita 8:19. Minute. You know that verse, right? Or you're looking. 8:19. This is a good one. Butva grama se avyam, butva butva pralayate, ratri agami vasaparta, prabhavati hahar agami. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and within arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. The less intelligent who try to remain within this material world may be elevated to higher planets, and then again must come down to this planet. As we were explaining, demigods, they can go to other planets, but somehow when their pious credits are over, then they have to come down again. During the daytime, Brahma, they can exhibit their activities on higher and lower planets within this material world. But at the coming of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. In the day, they receive various bodies for material activities. And at night, they no longer have bodies, but remain compact in the body of Vishnu. So this is our lives. You know, somehow or other, we have to take to this process of devotional service and through the help of devotees, stay fixed in this process of devotional service. And in that way, we can continue for that goal to the end of our life. Okay, I'll stop here. I was wondering if I can ask the audience a question, because we're always talking. I mean, I can ask you a question, but before you ask me questions, I don't know, you know, if someone's very learned, I'm in a reading group of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're on the 11th canto, 11.7, 33 to 35, and we come across an Avaduta Brahmin who is very, very super learned. He knows Shastras, but he is taking shelter of the 24 elements as his guru. The wind, the sun, the rain, the mountains, the trees. He's taking, and he's speaking to King Yayati, and he's giving them full explanation of why he's taking shelter of these elements, 24 elements, as his guru. So our question was, we all are encouraged to take spiritual masters, and the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. Krishna himself had a guru, he showed by example, and he tells us in 434 how everyone should accept a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. And also Lord Chaitanya at Ishwarapuri was his spiritual master. So does anyone understand or know why or how he became, you know, this Avaduta Brahmin? Didn't need a spiritual master. He was using all the 24 elements to explain how they can be his gurus. Yes, Radha Govinda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My understanding is that at different stages in a person's spiritual journey, he accepts different spiritual masters. And in the beginning, you have the Vatma Patarshaka Guru, somebody who shows you the path like that. And my understanding is that the Avadhut Brahman isn't at the highest stage where he's accepted a spiritual master on the path of bhakti. But in a stage before that, the super soul speaks through different people to you. And he's not fully there, what you would call somebody who's ready to accept a spiritual master.
I didn't give you all the... if you read the chapter, you will understand it a little more.
Yeah.
This Avaduta Brahman was getting inspiration from the super soul.
Yeah.
What they say, Chetu Guru.
Yeah.
When he felt very happy and blissful, then he felt Krishna is pleased with him. He knew Krishna was God. He knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew the Shastras. He knew everything. So when he felt happy from within, then he felt that the super soul was talking to him. So therefore, he saw all the creation of Krishna as his gurus, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I've read the chapter.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But still, I think there is a difference between, I think, somebody being a devotee who is totally surrendered to Krishna, who's accepted a spiritual master through a process, and somebody who is at a stage before that where he sees Krishna's speaking as a super soul to him, that is a pre-stage. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Yes, Prabhu.
So firstly, Maharaj, I think that's not 24 elements. That's 24 types of gurus, because pigeon, python, sea, moth, these things are also there. So they are not 24 elements. So it's
does it say there in that verse? Okay.
Yeah. So it's 24 gurus, not 24 elements. And why he accepted them as gurus is good instruction coming from anywhere can be accepted, just like instruction or inspiration, just like Srila Prabhupada. He took the advice or words of a bus conductor. He said, why don't you print books? What good will these magazines do? Prabhupada took that seriously and started printing books. So yeah. So if he is getting inspiration from these 24 gurus and getting inspired in his spiritual life, that's well and good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else?
Just probably following Radha Govinda Prabhu's point that one sense guru is giving shiksha of how we can advance in spiritual life. And in the 10th chapter of the Gita, In the Tattva Shloki, some of the verses there, Tesham Evano Kampartam.
Yes, that's what I was looking at. Four seed verses.
So Prabhupada in that purport describes how one is very sincere, although they may not, I forget exactly the purport, but he said if we not be able to properly follow a guru, Krishna will still give them guidance from within the heart. And Prabhupada even says if one is taking shelter of a religious institution but is not following properly, there's some interesting lines there how Krishna will still guide one from in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But then in terms of reaching the ultimate stage, which is to be engaged as a servant of one of Krishna's associates, and the path we've been given is a path to enter Vrindavan, this doesn't take place without directly being put in that position by an eternal associate of Krishna. We have to follow in the footsteps, the nectar devotion scribes of a Brajabasi.
Right.
So liberation, people can achieve perhaps like this, but Braj Bhakti doesn't come so cheaply.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, I was looking at the seed verses, the four seed verses, and if we read the purport, Prabhupada says that even if one turns away from a guru, if he got Krishna and he's fixed in the goal, then Krishna from within will help him achieve the goal. Those four seed verses in there are read in the purport. Okay, anything else, ladies? Nope. Yes, ma'am.
So nature or the elements can really inspire us. And we can, with our vision, we can see that they're just like Krishna. The sun, the rain, the plants, all these things. They're just like elements, just like Krishna. Because they're always giving, profusely, always, and they ask for nothing in return. They just want our acceptance, for us to accept them, to acknowledge them, appreciate them. And they thrive. Just like we would say that Krishna also would like to have our love, because we're parts and parcels of him. So in that sense, nature is our guru. We can learn a lot through nature, just observing, see mm-hmm. how she conducts herself in giving all the time.
Right.
And then we take and we don't sometimes appreciate her. All the time we take in, and we don't. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to acknowledge and to pay our gratitude. So in that sense, she's teaching us things, how to live, how to be, you know, come to the mode of goodness as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. David?
My understanding in terms of avadut, that is a very... like it's a quite a high position,
mm-hmm.
and that possibly the soul, due to whatever, I don't know previous story, but that whatever is in that circumstance where he didn't possibly feel the need to take shelter of, in terms of like a Diksha Guru, or yes, but he was just on his own path in terms of his avadutta nature.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just. Yeah, just an angle. I don't know if it's his actual story, but I know that avadut is someone who's beyond the regular social, like a liberated soul in that sense, in my understanding.
Yeah, there's examples there like Jad Bharat, and there's Balram was an avaduta, and also Nityananda. I mean, there's no comparison to devotees, but they're his examples of avadutas who are very elevated. They act in that way so they're not disturbed, by their devotion to Krishna. Okay. Last Prayojana. Yes.
Bhagavad Gita is one of those special... books that we can really get practically everything in. Well, everything in. It says, this is chapter 6, Jnana Yoga. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. For those who see me everywhere and everything sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. And it's an intimate thing. It's to do with whatever we experience, whether through the spiritual master, Shiksha Gurus, they're leading us, you know, through this path, but it must be under guidance. As Radha Govinda was saying, that is the secure position. So, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Rantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.